two worlds. One world two worlds in a squeaky pan. For those that can't see it, for the choir perhaps, and those that have glasses like myself who maybe can't focus in on this, two worlds, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of earth. It's as simple as that. Those are the kingdoms that we have. We're born into the kingdom of earth. And we're born into a world that is wrecked and broken, and we are broken when we're born. We're conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. From our very early thoughts and biases, we do those things that are self-preservation. You rarely have to teach a child to lie. From very early instinct, a child learns that to distort the truth may delay judgment. And so from the very beginning, we are biased towards our own preservation. And it is the self-preservation that opens up the opportunities for many other broken things to emerge. We sin and we are sinned against. And the combination of those two is a painful experience. And for many people tonight, they live consistently and constantly in this world. And this world does not get lighter or brighter or easier. This world is a complex place of pain, deception, and brokenness, corruption, and greed. Sure, on occasions, it manifests something of the shadow of the kingdom of God in that we're created in His image. And we do acts that are kind and gracious and compassionate. But for the most part, many people experience the full velocity of a world that's spinning away from God. And the Christian, though they live in this kingdom, also experience its brokenness. And it comes at so many different levels. There are people in here tonight, the shadow of this world falls over you. And in that shadow comes a sense of grief and loss, a sense of disconnection, disillusionment, despair, and despondency. It's fractured. And you're fractured too. And for you, every day is painful. Not only in the physical world, but also in that which is spiritual and emotional. Why are you here tonight? You're here to worship God. But even as you attempt to do that, this world can take its toll. This world has a sway over your perceptions and your judgments. Can you identify with this world and those in it? If it wasn't for Easter, I'm not sure I could say anything that would make a difference. I do know that Paul, in 2 Corinthians, knew exactly what this world was like. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. the Father of all compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardship we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. If you are feeling the hurt of this world, if you are feeling its terrible pain and its darkness, then you're in great company. For the wonderful, most energetic, effervescent, theologically bright and articulate Paul find himself at the end of life, to the point of death. I cannot go on except for the one person who pulls me towards another kingdom altogether. He is the one who is worthy. He is the one that we have hope in. Fantastic. What will heaven be like, eh? Can you imagine all of the choirs, Wellington, Tabernacle, Brooklyn, all those choirs that have been singing for years, singing together, "Worthy is the Lamb." And the rest of us can join in, and we will have perfect tone and perfect pitch, and I don't even know whether those are the right words, but they always sound like musical words to me. We'll have what it takes and what is needed to bring praise and honor and glory to God. It's true, it hurts. But Paul knew something about the church. He knew what it was to receive comfort from God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. In this kingdom on earth, where we receive a lot of heartache and a lot of hurts and a lot of pain and a lot of brokenness because it's a broken world, we also are aware that God is in the midst. And we have been comforted by God. Individuals here have been comforted by God. Is there not a person here who has not received the comfort of God? In your moment of heartache and moment of pain and moment of personal crisis, in your times of difficulty, has God not drawn alongside you in the bedroom when your situation was so dark, so difficult, or alone in that room in the house when no one seemed to be there? Suddenly, the presence of God drew near. when he heard your cry, your difficulty, your moment of desperation, and he came to your side. Could tonight be one of those moments? A pivotal moment in your life when you knew and you know that it is God. That he will break the silence and that he will teach you things that you could never have learned if he had not been present with his comfort and his grace. Good. Great. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of earth. This is the world of pain and misery and darkness and brokenness and the prince of the power of the air that controls and attempts to rule and dominate this kingdom with his darkness. He causes pain, the misery, the upset. He seeks to isolate, to marginalize, to distort, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You can fill this kingdom with every notion, every thought, every problem, every difficulty. This was not the kingdom that God intended for us. The kingdom of God is his rule, his reign. In Christ, when he became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and when the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was poured out, bridging these two worlds was the bride of Christ, the church. Right there in this particular place, a people living in the brokenness and darkness of this world, yet knowing something of the kingdom that is to come. A kingdom that awaits in perfection and yet at the moment partially received. The now and still the not yet. This is a mysterious kingdom. A kingdom referred to in Scripture as a place without borders. Luke chapter 17, 20 to 21. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." The Jewish people, the Israelite people, were looking for a tangible, physical place with borders to be called the kingdom of God. Their kingdom, where God's reign would be established and rule, and they would be a protected people and provided for by God. And God said, no, the kingdom of God is not with borders. It comes to reside in the lives of people. And we know, and you know, that that place is the church. So when the church is in operation, when it meets together, when it fellowships together, what manifestation of God's presence can demonstrate to us the reality of that world? There are a number of references. In Luke chapter 4, verse 43, we read these words. "But he said to them, 'I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose.'" So this kingdom of God and the message of the church is good news. In this world of brokenness, in this world of pain and upset and misery, there is a message that we can deliver that essentially and foundationally is good news to those that are in pain, in isolation, marginalized, hurt, dispossessed. And that is the gospel of liberation. Because it isn't with borders and it isn't within a building. It comes to reside within a people's life. And when I meet with another believer, regardless of where that may be, it may be a cluster in a cafe, it may be somewhere else, it could be here, it could be there, it could be anywhere. That's the beauty of the kingdom. That we can embrace a new world that is very different than the world that we're called to live in. Because we establish a new way of living, a new way of thinking, a new way of existing. It is the kingdom of God received now, here and now, and yet also to be entered into at a later stage. And what are the manifestations of that kingdom? Well, first of all, that we deliver good news. Just as Jesus sought to do. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. My people are not fighting. They're not lifting up the sword. They are a people of peace. They are peacemakers. They know that peace has been established between themselves and God, and consequently between each other. We are a people called to peace. He will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives peace." It's of this kingdom, the kingdom of God, the church, residing on earth, can have a supernatural peace and deliver peace that this earthly world cannot fully understand or embrace. This kingdom of God, consisting of the church, can offer forgiveness when the world would struggle to forgive, but would find themselves overcome with vengeance. This kingdom says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But my people, they will act in peace towards their oppressor. They will be peacemakers on earth. They will be a people who receive a supernatural peace in the midst of chaos and difficulty and storms." When Jesus was in the boat and he commanded the waves to be still, he brought peace to troubled waters, and he brings peace to your heart. He restores your soul. He asks you to lie down in green pastures. You may find a supernatural peace in this kingdom amongst God's people. The kingdom of God on earth. It was a place of salvation. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus said in Mark 1. Repent and believe the gospel. A place of salvation to those who are going to a lost eternity. What's a mark of the kingdom of God on earth? New birth. That's a mark of the kingdom. Has to be. If we're not seeing new birth in the lives of people, we're not seeing the kingdom on earth as God intended it to be. The fruit of the message of good news must be evidenced in repentance and belief. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Those are evidences that they're God's presence is with us. When Jesus walked this earth, he said, "I don't want a people who just talk." And Paul understood completely what Jesus meant by that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, he writes, "For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power." The kingdom of God does not exist in talk, but in power. And how was that evidenced when Jesus walked this earth? In Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. In this broken, dark world where demonic influences can manipulate and destroy, when we receive the Spirit of God, when we receive salvation and embrace the kingdom, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we know God's presence, when two or three gather together in His name and by His authority, in that place where the church resides and the church meets, the church marches against this kingdom of darkness, and not even the gates of hell shall prevail against it. Any demonic forces that came into the presence of Jesus cried out. They could not be silent, because within Christ resided the power of God, because He was God. The kingdom of God, the kingdom that we are striving towards, that still awaits us, where Christ rules and reigns. He is now ruling and reigning in His church. And in the sphere of His church, where the demonic forces are present and come to destroy, Jesus casts out those demons, as He did when He ministered, and as He sent His disciples out to do exactly the same. They were able to see those demonic forces be resisted and flee. And it was a sign of the kingdom. And it continues to be so until this day. When it came to those who were ill, in Luke chapter 10, verse 9, heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Whatever our condition, whatever our situation, God has promised us in the church that we have a Savior, a friend, a Lord, and that a new day is beginning to dawn. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, and in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. It shall stand forever. That journey begins now, at this moment. We are entering those end times that was established at the formation of the church. We begin to experience this kingdom on earth partially, but not completely. And what does that mean for you and I? God can do all of these things. That's what it means. When we come together as His church, He may, because of His sovereign love and grace, choose to illuminate to the one who is not saved the kingdom of God and what it means, of what repentance and belief and salvation could actually suggest, that they can be born from above and not from below, that they can have a new relationship, a new beginning, that they're sins, though they be scarlet, can be washed as white as snow. That the one who is hell-bound with guilt and wrecked with shame can know forgiveness and grace and mercy. And it only comes because the kingdom of God is established. And the church pray every day, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And since it's not God's will that any should perish, but all come to an understanding and embracement of eternal life. Then as we live and breathe and speak and give the message of the good news, we truly believe that His kingdom can come. We truly believe that people can be saved from their sin. We truly believe that their lives can be restored and turned around. This is a place of spiritual healing. This is a place of deliverance. The lives most wrecked by sin, the lives most distorted by pain and upset and misery, the most addicted of lives can be liberated in this kingdom that God rules and reigns, cause His church. Every addict could be healed by the power and grace of God, no matter how compulsive their addiction has been. They can be released. They truly can. It doesn't matter how broken that life has become, how marred by sin. It doesn't matter how many times they snort cocaine. It doesn't matter how many needles they put into their arm and inject themselves with heroin. It doesn't matter how broken the world makes them. They are never broken beyond restoration and repair by God. Do you not find that exciting? Do you not find that liberating? Do you not find that that brings hope into your world and into mine? That every homeless person that we sit beside who may feel that no one else cares for them. I was listening to one homeless person interviewed on the radio the other day, a guy who actually became a Christian later on in his life. He said, the first day that I had hope was the day when a person sat beside me and they asked me my name. My name. As simple as that. They wanted to know what I was called. For he was nameless to most other people, but not to this individual. Do you not truly believe that in this despairing, broken world of the kingdom on earth, as the kingdom of God arrives, that it can dispel the sense of loneliness that certain people feel? A woman appearing at a well, and Jesus spoke to her. A woman dragged before an unsympathetic audience. You adulterer. Face in the dirt. Humiliated by men without the man present. God, what are you going to say to her now, Jesus? Think of this. If the last words that she ever heard was God's condemnation, there was nowhere else she could go. For every human being who offered her comfort would be shallow. But Jesus looked at her. Where are your condemners? She looked around. Jesus said, you could even begin to imagine how much I love you. That's why I've come. When I die on the cross of Calvary, two worlds will collide. My world and a broken world. But there's only one winner. And it's me. Your Savior. So go and sin no more. I love you. This kingdom is a beautiful place where truly people are liberated from their sin. This world called the kingdom of God means that people can be delivered from demons. It means that people can be healed of their diseases and illnesses. I truly believe that. But in this kingdom, we're still in preparation for the next. And so in the midst of our residing brokenness, of where we may still remain unhealed, where we still have to struggle with hurts and heartache and grief and difficulty and challenge and trials and tribulations and all of those things, it was Paul who said, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And how do we do that? We do it quite simply. When one rejoice, all rejoice. When one suffer, all suffer. When the church meets together, it's a people in preparation. And as we meet together, we come alongside people and they say, this is what I am struggling with. This is the situation that I find myself in. And Paul says, when the church is operating as the kingdom of God, it is known much about comfort. Because making up its number are those that have been persecuted, those like myself who have been given a thorn in the flesh and prayed 3 times that the Lord would remove it, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you. There'll be people in this church who have lost their sons to the Romans, cruelly crucified. There will be those who have lost their husbands to cruel beatings. There'll be those who have experienced discrimination, prejudice, who've been alienated, forsaken by the world. And they will be sitting beside you, ready to comfort you, because God comforted them. Tonight, we're a people in preparation, living in this world but preparing for the next, wanting and praying and asking that for a moment he may give us a glimpse of this world in the healing of a person, in the reversal of a person's situation or circumstances. But it may not happen. And what hope is there for us then? Paul says we are preparing. We're a people in preparation. Ask that his kingdom comes. If in his grace and mercy he heals and he restores or he gives, or he draws alongside you in your moment of weakness and trial and difficulty, in the darkness, in the despair, and he comes and he offers you comfort and consolation, then receive it from him. But know this, that what you experience temporarily and for a moment is a foreshadowing of our complete restoration in a very short time. And that's exciting. Because he will answer our prayers, whatever those prayers may be. And he will choose the moment that they're answered. But until that time, we are heading toward him, ever increasingly heading toward him. And tonight, if you want prayer, there's no better place than here, where God's people are met. We cannot promise anything other than his presence. And whatever he does out of grace and love and mercy. This is a place where God will be present. He will be with you. Sometimes heaven truly does touch earth. And may the grace of God do it tonight as we worship and listen to Him. The goodness of God.